Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We surrender, Lord, to you right now. We open up our hearts. We don't want to lock you out, Holy Spirit. We want you in. So we open up our hearts to you right now. We say, come and have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. In me today, Lord. Come on, everyone. Let's say, in me. Lord, have your way. In me. In me. In me. In me. In me. Lord, we open up our hearts. We know you're here, Holy Spirit. We know you're speaking and you want to continue to speak. We know you're breathing and you want to continue to breathe life. Lord, we know you want to open our eyes to see what you see. We know you want us to hear your voice and respond and obey. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me today. That's my prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, church, you may be seated in the presence of God. And children, you may make your way out to DBK. Parents, if for some reason you haven't already checked your children in, please make your way out with the children right now. There'll be some of our wonderful DBK leaders are there that will be able to assist you and help you. We want our children to be blessed. We want the Lord to have his way in the lives of our children. Today and every day, God is at work. From the youngest to the oldest, he's doing something in our lives. Amen? Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks, team. Really appreciate you this morning. Wow. There was a lot that God was doing prophetically through those songs that were sung this morning, and I just want to refer back to something there a little bit later on. But here we are, the first Sunday in February, and I guess it's a bit of a tradition for us here at Dream Builders Church that the first Sunday in February, we restate our mission as a church, and we talk about what God is wanting to do in us and through us as a church as we continue to move forward in the year that lies ahead of us. And we know, from all the previous years, not just 2020, from all the previous years, we know that things happen during the year that are unexpected to us but never unexpected to God. And if we can live with that kind of faith, nothing comes as a surprise to God, then we can walk with confidence into all that he has in store for us, not living by fear, as Karen was reminding us before, but by living by faith. Faith in the one who leads and guides, in the one who speaks and directs. We just thank God that he is with us. We thank God for this year that we have stepped into. And last week and the week before, we were able to sing our lungs out without masks. But this morning, even with a mask, I wasn't going to let it stop me. Like the other week, Dawn said she could even hear me singing. So I don't know how possible it was with the mask this morning, Dawn, but I was doing my best, trying my hardest to sing out. Because he's worthy of all praise and all honor, and God's just at work amongst us. You know, so it was about this time last year, as I said, first Sunday of February, It was this time that I was sharing vision, and actually I'm not just sharing vision here this morning at Dream Builders in Melbourne. I've already recorded some of what I'm going to say here that is going to the Dream Builders churches around our country in Western Australia, in the Northern Territory, in Tasmania. And so that's all happening around today as well. And so it was this time last year in person I spoke this, but also by video I spoke it in other locations. And I said these words: for the kingdom people have a for the kingdom mission, which is to be outworked in the context of a for the kingdom church. Our mission, as Karen has already said this morning, is simply stated this way: building lives, transforming communities. Those four words sum up what Dream Builders Church is all about. Building lives, transforming communities, equipping and releasing, going and making, doing the things that Jesus told us to do. Now, when we think of these words, building lives, transforming communities, in the context of the early church, we could use these words, and we have been using these words, from the upper room to the marketplace. There's a place where God builds us. There's a place where God infills us. There's a place where He comes and builds into us so that we can enter the marketplace and bring Jesus to a people who desperately need Him. When we press into God through encounter moments, just like we had this morning, when we press into God through encounter moments and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility, church, to bring a living Jesus to a dying world. We must never forget, we serve a living Savior. He is alive. He is with us. He speaks. He leads. He directs. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And we have the wonderful privilege of sharing a living Jesus with a dying world. From the upper room where we encounter Jesus to the marketplace where the world is dying and needs to know the Jesus that we meet and know in an upper room environment. We need to be moving from the upper room to the marketplace, to the upper room to the marketplace, and we need to be doing that on repeat if we're going to effectively represent Jesus in the world, and we're going to fulfill the mission that He's given to us, to go and make disciples, to build lives who will in turn transform communities. Earlier this year, as in my devotional time, as I was focusing on 2021 and the Lord's ongoing plans for us as a community of faith, I was led to the first four verses of Psalm 96. And I really want to talk about them this morning to us as a church family. Let me read those verses for you, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The English Standard Version. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. As I was reading those verses, the words "declare His glory" stood out to me. Declare His glory. You see, proclaiming God's glory to the people of the world is not only a command that we receive from God, but it is a supernatural outflow of a worshiping individual or a worshiping community of faith. It's a natural outflow, declaring His glory. You know, it's not like we hear the words of God, declare His glory, and think, oh, I've got to declare His glory. But you know what? If we are a worshiper, if we're a worshiping community, if we're a people who understand that He is Lord and I am not, then it's just a natural outflow from us that our life declares His glory. Declaring His glory is an imperative we cannot ignore. And if we're a part of an upper room to the marketplace, to the upper room to the marketplace on repeat culture, then let me tell you, church, if that's our culture, we will be fruitful. And the Father will be glorified. This is what John chapter 15 reminds us, that if we are connected, if we are abiding in the vine, if we are connected to Jesus, then we will bear fruit, and that fruit will remain. It starts off by saying, this is how the Father is glorified. If we're going to declare the glory of God, then we need to be a people who bear fruit. But bearing fruit isn't something that we do or make of ourselves. It's an outworking, it's a natural result of being connected to the source. On a fruit tree, you know, that where the fruit comes, it's not like that little branch decides, I'm going to bear fruit. It bears fruit naturally because it's connected. And there's a source, and there's nutrients that come and enter into the far reaches of that tree, and out comes the fruit. I love what it says in the latter part of John chapter 15. And, you know, I think this is a very important chapter for any Christian, John chapter 15. And I think that we, you know, it'd do us all good to dwell there often this year in our personal devotional life. It's such an important chapter. But I love what it says in the latter part, verses 26 to 27. It says, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me. Verse 27. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. You see, Jesus tells His apostles, after you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we read this in Acts chapter 1, after you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to share knowledge and understanding of me, Jesus says to them. You're going to share knowledge and understanding of me. You're going to share about my works, and you're going to share in my works, and you're going to share about the message I shared, and you're going to share that message because you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. How is it that we can bear fruit? How is it that we can declare His glory? By just being connected to Him. Because everything about Him flows out of us. Flows out of us if we are with Him. This is what I love about verse 27. It says, you must testify about me. Again, we don't have to force this. Sometimes we think, oh, I've got to get out there, and I've got to tell, and I've got to get out there, and I've got to preach the gospel. Yeah, well, whatever motivates you, but you don't have to force anything. If we are connected to Jesus, this is what He said to His disciples. He said, you must testify also about me. But it wasn't a must for them. It was just a natural thing. Why? Because they have been with Him. So the upper room to the marketplace is all about being with Him. We can testify of Him in the marketplace if we have been with Him in the upper room. We've got to make being with Him a priority if we're going to fulfill the kingdom priority, which is to go and make disciples. If we're going to be active in the marketplace, bringing a living Jesus to a dying world, we must put ourselves in a place where we are with Him. Where we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, the very one that it says in verse 26 has come to, he's come to testify about Jesus. He comes and testifies about Jesus to us, and then he says, now you go. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit and bear witness to Christ. If we continually position ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the result will be that we will declare his glory individually and corporately. We will indeed bear witness to Christ. This is what we're called to do. Bear witness to Christ. And this doesn't happen just because we've done some study or we've done some research or we've heard some talks. This happens out of a supernatural encounter with the one who comes supernaturally and speaks these words, come, follow me, and I will make you. We can't make ourselves Christians. We can't make ourselves evangelists. We can't make ourselves anything. We are who we are when we are in Christ. And he is the one that flows through us. This is not difficult. Sometimes we try and we think it's just too hard to be a Christian. That's because we're trying to be one. And if you try to be one, it will be very, very difficult. But if we choose to be in his presence and are connected to the vine, we just be one. We don't have to try to be one. We are one when we are in Christ. Is this making sense to someone this morning? Jesus didn't come declaring the kingdom of God is near to make it hard for us, even though life doesn't always go smoothly. Jesus didn't come to make it hard. He just said, stay connected, and it doesn't matter what the storm is. Doesn't matter what you confront. Doesn't matter what happens. If you stay connected, you will always have the resource. My grace will always be sufficient for you, is what he is saying to us. Okay, let's spend some time now in Psalm 96 and these first four verses. I didn't expect to spend that long on the introduction, but here we go. Hopefully I've whet your appetite enough to receive what's happening here. Okay. So let me read those verses again. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Let's break that down. It starts off saying, sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Sing to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, put it this way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. I would put it to you by what Paul was saying to the church in Ephesus. Singing is not something that's difficult to do if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a natural outflow. Singing is a response to the joy of the Lord within us as Christ followers. It's easy to sing. I know it's easy to sing when you're happy. When things are just going wonderfully, we just whistle while we work. Do people, is work happy or not? Well, it is for most people. Whistle while we work. It's easy to sing because we're happy. But this is not what it says. It says that we should sing to the Lord, bless his name. It doesn't say in what circumstance. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. In Isaiah 54, we're challenged because in Isaiah 54, it says, even if you're experiencing barrenness in your life, dryness, desert, wilderness, if you are fruitless in your mind, If you're feeling fruitless, Isaiah 54 says, sing, O barren. It's not saying sing because you're happy. It says sing if you're feeling fruitless. Sing. 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 Because the singing isn't about the circumstances. The singing is about the spirit or the rivers and streams of living water from deep within that can't help but come out. Why? Why would Isaiah say, as the Lord inspired him to prophesy, why sing, O barren, why? Well, we can't read Isaiah 54 without reading Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, it tells us that the chastisement for our peace fell upon Jesus. This is what it says in verse 5, English Standard Version, Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. The word peace here, it says the chastisement that was brought upon... It says, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. That word peace means in the Hebrew completeness, soundness, health, safety, provision. In other words, all these benefits can be ours today because Jesus has already paid the price on the cross. Before feeling barren and being inspired and encouraged to sing, we got to remember there's something that's been prophesied over our life. And that prophecy is completeness, soundness, health, safety, provision. That's why we can sing, even if we don't feel like we can sing. That's why we can sing if we're feeling barren, if we're feeling like we're in the wilderness. We can sing because it's been prophesied. It's been prophesied. Peace is ours because somebody paid the price for our peace. We can sing. God wants us all in whatever area we might be feeling barren to start rejoicing as if the fruit you were wanting to see has already come. That's what faith is, believing for things that are not as though they are. He wants you to start thinking and speaking and acting as if barrenness is no more. Now, the kind of singing that I'm talking about, it's not just literal singing, because you might be saying, well, I don't sing. Well, I do hum occasionally. Ah, yeah, I do sing in the shower, but no one's listening. It's not the literal singing I'm talking about. That's not the spirit of what the Word of God is saying here. This is about an attitude. This kind of singing is about a posture. This kind of singing is where our life sings without words even having to come out. It's like you literally walk into an environment and it's as if you've started singing and people say, where did that voice come from? But you're not singing because you're saying, well, I can't sing. But you are singing because the Spirit is alive in you and your life is singing. And God wants us to be a church that sings. Our life sings. It's about an attitude. It's about a posture. Okay, let's move away from that and go to the next phrase that says this. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his salvation from day to day. In John chapter 9, we read about a man who was blind. He'd never seen because he was blind from birth, the Bible tells us. And one day, he entered the presence of Jesus. And Jesus touched him. And he was healed. A man who could never see was now seeing. This man didn't ever pretend to have the eloquence of a Peter or the intellect of a Paul. He just spoke from experience and he said, "Once I was blind, but now I see." That is called testimony. That is testifying of the power of God. That's declaring the glory of God through our testimony. This is an incredibly effective way of sharing the gospel, sharing our story. "Once I was blind, now I see." You know, I love hearing stories of people like Sam, who works in our Center for Change program. But Sam, at one point in time, was struggling to work out what the next day was going to bring in his life because of addiction. But one day he met Jesus. And with the help of Jesus, the chains fell off. He came out of his Egypt and stepped into the promises of God. And today he's used by God to help people to connect with God and to come out of their Egypt and to step into the promises of God for them. That, my friends, is his story, but his story impacts all of us. And we've all got a story. Oh yeah, we've read all the books of the amazing testimonies and we say, why would I even share that as a 9-year-old? You know, I heard a message and thought, you know what, I've never asked Jesus into my life. I should do that. And we say, well, I don't have much of a story, except that 51 years later, I'm still declaring the glory of the Lord. We've all got a story. It doesn't have to be as grand as it seems some other people's stories. They couldn't put my story into a movie like they put other people's stories in a movie. But as far as God's concerned, all I need to say is, "Once I was blind, but now I see." So let's not allow the fact that our story doesn't seem to be too amazing. It is, because God's grace is amazing. You need to know that. But there's somebody in our world that needs to hear our story. And our life can make a difference in someone else's life. There's power in salvation testimonies, and our testimony declares his glory. Our life should sing and declare his glory. But our testimony certainly declares his glory. I hope you're picking up what I'm saying here. If we're going to be a people who declare his glory, there's ways that we do that. And one of them is sharing our testimony. The next phrase in Psalm 96 is this: declare his marvelous works among all the peoples. This tells me that our actions are just as powerful as our words. It says, declare his marvelous works among all the peoples. This is really, really important. That it's one thing to say what he's done for us. It's another thing to just do what he wants to do through us. And that's important too. It's through serving that we reveal God to people and they get a genuine picture of the Heavenly Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says this: be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. What's that saying? Well, our actions need to reflect something different. If we have neighbors who don't have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, and we claim to, and our life and the way we go about things isn't different from theirs, then where is the declaration of His glory? It matters how we live. Our actions genuinely reflect what we believe in our heart. So what we believe inside these four walls for a couple of hours on a Sunday is nowhere near as important as what we believe 24/7, wherever we find ourselves. Because out of our belief, we will act. And our actions reflect our belief that Jesus is alive within us. Jesus showed us and gave us an example and a demonstration of what it means to serve. And, you know, he said in John 13, verse 15, when, you know, he'd been washing the disciples' feet, just an amazing example of servanthood. And he said, just as I've given you an example to follow, do as I have done. What's he saying? Serve others. Serve humanity. Christians, we should be setting the pace as to how God expects humans to be treating one another. If we want human beings to be treating each other correctly, we need to be the ones setting the pace. It's how we treat our brother. It's how we treat our enemy. It's how we treat our leaders. This is what declares the glory of God, that declares kingdom principles to people. Our actions declare His glory. The worship team can come back. I've actually got quite a bit to say, but I just feel I just would like you guys here. He is to be feared above all gods, this passage says. One who fears God is one who acknowledges who God is and what He's done. That He's the Creator. The one who has all things in control. He's the one who judges all. You know, we need to stand in awe of God. We need to be a people who reverence Him. For the kingdom people are devotional people. That is, a people with a genuine reverence for God. You know, when we get a revelation of who God is and His awesomeness, then making Him the number one priority in our life is not a difficult thing to do. Because if we genuinely see Him for who He is, the Almighty God, the Omnipotent One, the All-Knowing God, the Omniscient One, the All-Present God, the Ever-Present God, the Omnipresent One, if we know Him, we can't help but reverence Him because He's awesome. He is to be feared in the right sense of the word. Feared because He is all-powerful. You mean God can just do whatever He wants? Absolutely. You mean God knows my every thought? Yes, He does. You mean He's everywhere I go and He watches and He's there with me in the midst because He's present everywhere? Yes, He is. That is a God to be feared. Not to be afraid because He's going to do something bad, but to realize that I am sinful and He is not. And He has said, if you're my child, be holy as I am holy. And it's like, Lord, I am so sorry for the way I thought about that and where my mind went at that moment. That's genuine fear of the Lord, not as in He's going to do something bad to me, but as in He's asked me to be a reflector of His glory and I'm not. I believe God wants a genuine fear of Him, a reverence of who He is, an understanding of His holiness to just be a fresh revelation to us as a church. I know that there are examples of where human beings have got this wrong, and we've taken the whole concept of holiness way into the extreme, where it's become legalism and it's become judgmentalism and all these things that are wrong. But that's no reason to throw out our need to worship a holy God. And to be those who are willing to repent. Because if we rid ourselves and empty ourselves of self and are filled with the Spirit of God, our life will declare the glory of God. We need to continue to move from the upper room to the marketplace, to the upper room to the marketplace on repeat, if we're going to declare the glory of God. This morning we sang these words, and I want the team to go here. We were talking about fresh wind. And it says these words, "For hearts that burn with holy fear, purified in faith and deed, refine as fire, strengthen what remains. So we, the church, who bear your light, lamp aflame, city bright, King and kingdom come, is what we pray." Yes, we need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. If we're going to be a people who declare His glory, a people who bear witness to Christ, we need our lamp to be aflame. We need a fresh wind. We need Him to pour His Spirit out. Come on, stand with me. If you believe with me that God's got a plan and a purpose for us as a church, that there's a glory He wants us to reveal, it's His glory and no one else's, then let's be singing, come on, Lord, pour your Spirit out. We need you, we need you, we need you. Jesus. Come on, let's sing with the team. Sing, 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 sing. Sing, declare His glory.
The fragrance of heaven, pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit out,
Jesus, Jesus,
the holy anointing,
that's what we need, Lord,
the power of your presence, pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit out, we need a fresh wind, don't we do, the fragrance of heaven.
Thank you, God. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Lord, we stand in awe of your presence this morning. We stand in awe of who you are. We are in awe of your amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Lord, give me a hunger, a growing hunger to be in your presence so that I can declare your glory as you said of your disciples, that they would declare your glory because they had been with you. That's our desire, Lord. Lord, we pray, and I pray, as we're encouraged in Scripture to pray, to confess our sins. We confess our sins before you this morning. Thank you. Your word encourages us that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you that there is no weight that can hold us back. There is no burden that can hold us back when we come into a right relationship with you. Lord, we choose to be connected to the vine. Would you graft us in? If we're fallen away, Lord, we do not want to be cast aside, but Lord, we pray that you would graft us back in. That you would draw us back in. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. We need you. We need to be near you. We need you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you can take your seats, everyone. Just want to conclude by saying this. Our visionary strategy moving forward is not complex. It's not. You're going to be able to say it in 60 seconds. We're going to continue to provide worship and encounter opportunities. That's through services like this and other opportunities that are created from time to time. We will provide equipping and discipleship opportunities through connect groups and other small groups. And we're going to continue to reach out to the wider community through acts of love in Jesus' name, primarily through every individual bearing witness to Christ wherever they go. And as a body of related believers, our primary vehicle here at Dream Builders Church Melbourne for reaching out is going to be through Centre for Change and all the doors that open for us through that to reach out to a dying world with a living Christ. And so many of you already volunteer in various ways of what we're doing to reach out in that way, and there are going to be continued opportunities for us to do that. But as I said, the most powerful and the predominant way that we transform the community is by us as individuals bearing witness to Christ in every circumstance we find ourselves as individuals. It's not what we as a corporate church can do. That's wonderful that we do, but that's only part of it. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." Not join a church and let the church run programs. He said, "Follow me and I will make you." Let's connect to him. Let's reveal and declare his glory in 2021. God bless you.